And hello, and welcome to the third edition of the Strong Style History Specials on the NJPW World Front Page Uploads. I'm Jeffrey Wessel. With me today, Lawrence O'Brien. Lawrence, how you doing today?
Howdy.
So last edition, I teased that we were going to be doing certain matches. One of those has been replaced yesterday, word was going around of some controversy in Japan about one of the participants of the match that we're replacing, Hiroshi Hase, who of course is now a member of the cabinet in Japan, and there was some not nice things being bandied about things he's done.
If you want me to sum it up for you all, Hiroshi Hase decided to go to a group home that gathers sexual abuse survivors and decided to touch an underage girl, apparently.
Yeah.
So fuck you, Hiroshi Hase.
That's not right. And
you fucking scum of the earth. I don't know what would ever go through someone's head and go in that situation and do something like that in that, especially in that location. Oh my God.
Yeah, from everything I read,
bankrupt can one person be?
Yeah, from everything I read, that whole situation was a complete clusterfuck.
Good God.
Because it was like numerous members of the ruling party, the LDP party in Japan, it was all like elder gentlemen. Elder men going to this sexual abuse survivor's home. And yeah, apparently there were some other things that happened on site too.
Oh God.
So the whole thing was a clusterfuck. I made the call. I was like, you know, I really don't feel, I mean, as much as, you know, again, we appreciate Hiroshi Hase's in-ring work. There was just no call for this, and I just didn't feel right about, you know, reviewing an old Hiroshi Hase match. So we replaced it with some. We'll just keep that under our hat for the moment. But
shame on you, Hiroshi Hase. Shame on you.
Yeah, and you know what's wild is that he was usually considered one of the ones that was on the up and up. You know, especially, the moral stance he took after the death of Hiromitsu Gunpei, the trainee, allegedly at the hands of Kensuke Sasaki in the dojo. And, you know, we fast forward 25 years and here we are. So. Not good. Not good at all.
Well, then, I mean, to be fair, he left, quote unquote, and then he was tagging with him a year later.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, but I mean, that was also, you know, he also started appearing in All Japan around that time, too.
Right. So, I don't know. It was, I don't know what kind of moral stand. I don't know. It was. Yeah.
I mean, he was showing up in New Japan cards as part of Keiji Muto's Bat Stable as well.
Right.
You know, after that. So long story short, we didn't feel right putting a Hase match on here in the midst of that. But definitely one had popped up immediately on the front page. And I said, okay, yeah, we're going to do this one instead.
Yep.
But with that in mind, let's get on with our. Once again, we're doing four matches that have been posted to the front page of NJPW World, some of which with English commentary by Kevin Kelly, and in the case of this one, joined by Chris Charlton as well. As we travel back in time to May 1st, 1986.
I didn't hear their commentary on this.
You must have watched the Japanese one.
Oh, thank God.
Okay,
I can't stand either of them.
You don't like? Oh, okay. I don't mind Charlton so much because he tends to fill in a lot of the historical gaps.
Well, he had quite a few historical gaps in his books, so which I'm not going to talk about right now.
Oh, okay, wow.
But
throwing that gauntlet down, aren't you?
But no,
you're
I don't
feisty
care for,
today.
I don't care for Kevin Kelly. I'm in a mood. I'm sorry, but I didn't hear. I heard it on the next match. I'm trying to remember which one I heard his commentary. It was only one of the matches.
Okay.
I heard it on, but I think it was the Yuji Nagata match was the only one I heard.
Oh, okay, yeah, he was on that one. But anyway, as we travel back in time to May 1st, 1986, Tokyo Ryogoku Kokugikan. The first match today is Tatsumi Fujinami versus the UWF's Akira Maeda.
So the deal was, I think, so Fujinami faced somebody right before this, right?
Yes, okay, so just to set this up, of course, this was a New Japan versus UWF, not UWFI, but the original UWF, you know, when we had wrestlers who left New Japan to form their own, you know, more realistic promotion. Yeah, that was just as worked. Let anybody tell you otherwise. This was a 5-versus-5 elimination match. And it took place at day 17 of the Big Fighter Series 1986 at Ryogoku. This was the last day of this series. So it was a 5-versus-5 elimination match. The teams being Tatsumi Fujinami, Shiro Koshinaka, Seiji Sakaguchi, Kengo Kimura, and a youngster who we would know better under a different name, but by this time he was still known as Keiichi Yamada.
Oh.
That would be the once and future Jushin Thunder Liger, of course. And the other side, the UWF side, was Yoshiaki Fujiwara, Osamu Kido, Nobuhiko Takada, Kazuo Yamazaki, and Akira Maeda. So, just to go down the times here, this is a 10-man gauntlet match, 5-versus-5 gauntlet match. So, in the how this went. Nobuhiko Takada beat Keiichi Yamada. Seiji Sakaguchi would then beat Takada and Kazuo Yamazaki. Osamu Kido would eliminate Sakaguchi, but also via DQ beat Shiro Koshinaka. Wonder because I can only guess what Koshinaka did to get DQ'd. Kengo Kimura would eliminate Osamu Kido. Fujiwara would then eliminate Kimura, and then himself be eliminated by Tatsumi Fujinami. Now, during the course of the Fujiwara match, there was a pile driver spot on the outside, and we saw the end result when the video fades up for this match, because Fujinami is already a 0.65 Muta scale blood job after having beaten Fujiwara. So, Fujinami already at a bit of a disadvantage here. So, as we start the match, your referee, one Mr. Katsuhisa Shibata, the father of Katsuyori Shibata, who we've talked about before on this show, when we discussed the very first New Japan show, if you recall.
So this was basically a gauntlet match, essentially.
Yeah, this was. It was a gauntlet match. Yeah, 5-versus-5 gauntlet match.
This is pretty neat.
Yeah, so this is the final match of this, and, it starts off with a lot of mat grabs, although, again, Fujinami is, gushing.
Yeah, because Fujiwara fucking killed him, right?
Yeah, with the pile driver on the outside.
Yeah.
So it starts off with a lot of mat grabs. Fujinami manages to get a Sasaragatame on Maeda. So that was neat. I didn't know he'd use that move, honestly. I thought that was more Rikichoshu's realm.
Yeah.
But we also get a spot with Maeda where he gets Fujinami into a dragon suplex, a move Fujinami innovated, And then, you know, gets him into a Fujiwara armbar.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's still going back and forth, trading arm bars at one point, but then suddenly the bell rings. Shibata.
Oh yeah, they stopped the match.
Called the match. Shibata called the match for blood loss on the part of Fujinami. He said he could not continue.
Yeah, Fujinami was pissed.
he was very pissed. In fact,
he was fucking mad.
he was furious. He wanted to keep going. Inoki had to come in and stop him.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. This was really pretty solid stuff. I mean, the crowd, I think the crowd just brought it up even like another level. The crowd was just so fucking into this and wanted to see Fujinami try to pull this off.
Oh yeah. Well, the New Japan crowds love an invasion angle.
Yeah. And, this was a good one. Cool. Very, very, interesting one too. But yeah, I thought, Fujiwara definitely did a lot of work, like making this into a very, heated affair.
Yeah. And of course, the UWF wins this, this round of the feud with New Japan Pro Wrestling. This would continue all through 1986 into 87 and 88, especially, a feud between Fujinami and Maeda. Just a couple of notes. I'm just going to note that we mentioned the UWFI feud, and there is the infamous, Keiji Muto versus Nobuhiko Takada match that's on the front page. I'm just going to throw this into that. We're probably not going to do those because I think every other wrestling podcast under the sun has covered the New Japan versus UWFI feud, including on this very feed. Yeah. So I think we're just going to sidestep that because I think that's been pretty well covered at this point. And I don't think either of us or Chris are going to have anything new to say on the subject,
Yeah.
But
I'm wondering, is the Fujinami Maeda match from the rematch from the IWGP League that year on World? Because,
I don't know. I didn't look.
Because that's one I'd be interested in watching.
Yeah, let's take a look. I mean, it won't be on it's definitely not on the front page, but I mean, let's just see if it's on NJPW World. So that'd be interesting to see. I really don't know. So let's take a look. Lawrence, I do have one question for you though. Given that the total time for this gauntlet match was 63 minutes 18 seconds all told, according to Cage Match, would you think that this was the main event of the show?
It felt like it. the crowd, it certainly felt like it was.
The main event of this show was a tag team match. Antonio Inoki and Umanosuke Ueda beating Andre the Giant and Shogun K.Y. Wakamatsu.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh boy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. I'm sure, I don't think that was probably very entertaining. Yeah. Especially Andre at that point was probably
Wait, 86?
Yeah, Andre was not still even by that then was kind of like struggling.
I mean, he was struggling, but he could still work.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like he hadn't completely broken down yet. But anyway, yeah. Of all things, yeah.
Interesting.
This historic feud type match, and then the main event was seemingly random tag match.
How weird is it?
New Japan booking under Inoki. What can I tell you? And hey, on that note, let's move on to our second match. The ringer match, as we already described. Speaking of Antonio Inoki, this is one of his. And we travel forward about a year to August the 2nd, 1987, also at Ryogoku. This is an IWGP heavyweight title match. Antonio Inoki defending against Crusher Bam Bam Bigelow.
Boy, it was weird seeing Bam Bam in a yeah, singlet, like you said. It was
yeah,
I was like, whoa, this is weird.
If you've never seen Bam Bam Bigelow during this period, he was wearing a red singlet with white tube socks with red stripes, which means he already has better fashion coordination than Tiger Jeet Singh did in that Island Death match. Where you can clearly see his tube socks that had no color coordination to the rest of what he was wearing. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, a rare Antonio Inoki IWGP heavyweight title match, because of course he was his first champion, but would not, you know, that would be the only reign he had of this title, oddly yeah. enough. You know, considering all the times he held the NWF title, which I'm surprised we haven't gotten any NWF matches yet.
Yeah, I know. We'll get there soon.
Yeah, hopefully, but hopefully. So this was actually early days in the life of the IWGP heavyweight title, because of course Inoki awarded it to himself on June the 12th in the final of the IWGP League 1987, where he beat Masa Saito. To be the inaugural champion. So actually, this is his first defense of the title.
Yeah.
So, Lawrence, what did you think of this?
Well, it was pretty good. I thought Inoki had, you know, he was in the beginning, you know, he kind of got, you know, Bam Bam Bigelow off his feet a bit, and it was like, oh shoot, like, you know, like Bam Bam wasn't ready for that, and then Bam Bam really started like doing his thing on Inoki and you know, beating the piss out of him to say the least. It was really good. I mean, I don't have a lot of like in-depth analysis on this, but it was, you know, it was a really solid match. Bam didn't do a lot of his crazy stuff that you would see him do in different promotions, you know, but you know, he worked more of like the traditional big man style here.
Yeah, he about the only wild thing he did was a cartwheel during his ring intro.
No, yeah, of course. I mean, you can't forget. You can't never not have the Bam Bam cartwheel. That's very, very vital to the mystique.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, this really was just not a typical Bam Bam Bigelow match.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. No, it was, he very much worked traditional like big man style on Inoki, and I'm sure, I think that's what Inoki probably wanted from him.
Yeah.
Essentially, I'm sure Inoki kind of told him like, hey, like, you know, you're going to do more of a traditional, like big man, you know, underdog style type of match.
Right.
I thought the finish was really neat. The way that they did this was a really neat finish.
Yeah. So let's talk about that finish real quick. So at one point, you know, Bam Bam gets a head of steam. He lays Inoki out. He goes up to the top rope. Of course, he misses a top rope splash.
Yes.
And then, you know, Inoki starts his comeback. He, hits an enziguri on Bam Bam. Bam Bam goes to the outside. When he emerges, his forehead's cut open.
Oh, yeah.
We get some color there, too. I'm guessing that was a blade job.
Oh, had to be.
Yeah. But, it is a little bit of color on Bam Bam. And then he's trying to get back in. He's trying to get back into the match. But, Inoki starts hitting enziguris for days. And that's eventually what gets Inoki the win. And we have our first ever defense of the IWGP heavyweight title.
Yeah, well, he like flipped them back in from the outside.
Oh, that's right.
That's and then he knee hit dropped him across the back of the fucking head from the top rope. That was fucking awesome.
You're
That was
right. You know, I don't know why I didn't take that note, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he like literally like was able to lay like head scissors him back in from the ropes. He head scissors him back into the ring. Batman was just like completely like taken, like he was all he was a little out of it, and then just Inoki went up to the top and just dropped the freaking knee drop right across the back of his head and neck. It was just and that was it.
Yeah, that was that.
That was a really cool finish. I enjoyed this quite a bit.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was quick. You know, it was like what the official time on it is 9 minutes 38 seconds
Oh, I love
for
it.
this. So yeah, and again, that was the first defense of the IWGP Heavyweight title. Also of note on this show, this was, of course, you know, from the 29th day of the Summer Big Fight Series 1987 tour. Also on this show, of note, an IWGP tag team title defense, Akira Maeda and Nobuhiko Takada beat Super Strong Machine and Kuniaki Kobayashi
Oh.
to retain. Also on this card, here's a wild one for you. Keiji Muto and Tatsutoshi Goto beat Bad News Allen and Johnny Smith.
Oh my God.
Oh, 1987 New Japan.
Wow.
The opening match of this show, Kensuke Sasaki beating Chris Benoit.
Bad news, Alan. Oh my God. I Holy crap. I love it. Oh my God. That's great. I did. Wow. I did not realize Inoki trained him.
Who? Alan?
Yeah.
Yeah, turns
I
out.
didn't I did not know that.
Well, there you go. I mean,
Did you know he was like a judo like he was like a men's judo Olympian?
now that I didn't know.
Yeah, he won a bronze at the 76 Olympics
Oh, damn.
for judo. I did not know
Well,
that.
hell's bells.
Holy shit, Bad News Brown was a fucking judo champ.
Champion judoka. Who knew?
I'll be fucking damned. I
Who knew?
did not know that. That is very interesting.
See,
That's
we learn things here
yeah.
on the Strong Style History Show.
Inoki trained him, and he initially debuted in as Buffalo Allen, and
Wow.
in New Japan. I did not know that. And then he went, yeah. Then
I mean, yeah, his trainer, Antonio Inoki and Katetsu Yamamoto.
And then he just went on to Stampede after that, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there was a time when New Japan and Stampede were working pretty close, so
Yeah.
you know. So in 19, you know, it's funny. I think a lot of us came up into pro wrestling through the 90s stuff, you know, New Japan and All Japan. So
Yeah.
when you go backwards and you know, go beyond the you know, go further back, you find some wild shit going on.
Yeah.
We mentioned that this match was the first title defense for Inoki, you know, the first ever IWGP heavyweight title defense. We're gonna go to another first defense of that title. We're gonna jump to May the 2nd, 2002, from the Tokyo Dome. IWGP heavyweight title match between Yuji Nagata, who freshly had beaten Tadao Yasuda, one of the worst ever IWGP champions. And yes, I will die on this hill. Defending against Yoshihiro Takayama in
Oh
his
man,
first, of all first defenses, you get Yoshihiro Takayama.
regardless of Kevin Kelly's awful solo commentary on this,
Which it was, yes.
It was this was awesome, of course. I mean, Takayama's the goddamn man.
Oh my goodness. And keeping in mind too that at the time, Takayama was still officially in Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yeah, yes he was.
He was indeed, which hold that thought about the whole Noah thing. For later on, as we talk about this match, but yeah, what can we say about Yoshihiro Takayama? I mean, he was a veteran of the UWFI, part of one of the most underrated tag teams of the late 90s, early 2000s, All Japan in Team No Fear, mm-hmm. with Takao Mori. One of my, I mean, I still mark out for old Team No Fear matches. I really do. Hmm. You know,
yep.
You know, and he was part of he and Omori, you know, went on the exodus from All Japan into Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yep.
And by the time we get to here, this is you know, Noah is 2 years old at this point, so they've kind of established themselves.
Yeah.
And of course, this is also around the time. This is in the aftermath of Keiji Muto leaving New
yes.
Japan to go to all, you know, it took Satoshi Kojima and Kendo Kashin with him to All Japan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is in the post, you know, everybody was working together and then Muto leaves and then suddenly they're not working together, but now New Japan and Noah are working together. Again, so, yeah, Japanese wrestling in the early 2000s was a weird frontier period.
Yeah, and also this would not be the only Noah person that Yuji Nagata would face this year.
No, Noah sure would not be.
And the famed Jun Akiyama match that happened that year, and they also had another one the next year.
Yeah, they did. But let's focus on this match for right now. And it just starts off hot, and Takayama just fucking bulldozes Nagata to start.
God, good lord! This whole Nagata run is just fucking spectacular. This is there's like really not a lot of bad you're gonna find in this run from him. This was just another fucking banger from the Mr. Zaya, you know, and he was the perfect foil for Takayama here, fighting from underneath. Takayama's just bruising style of kicking him into smithereens and just dropping him with suplexes, and oh my god, Nagata just took a beating, but he just kept fighting at his way out, and he found a way.
he found a way somehow. This match was, if you're looking for, you know, great technique and skill, you'll see some of it, but my god, this was just mostly a slugfest.
I love the portion where they just roundhouse kicked the shit out of each other, and they just both fucking like dropped.
yes, they did. The lot of kicks. Nagata has some kicks. I mean, you wouldn't think, but he does.
Oh yeah, no, he, you know, the guy is he's a fighter.
And yeah, so that was a. Yeah, this match was just great. I mean, again, there's not one particular sequence I think stands out. It's just the whole way, just you guys just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, Nagata just he was so good at this time, that being that baby face, just working working from underneath, and you know, coming back, and he just, all of his comebacks just felt so like. So good, and they always felt like they came at the right time, you know, just to get the crowd even more going more. And I just really enjoyed Yuji Nagata during this time period.
Yeah. So yeah, Nagata's I mean, Nagata was the perfect baby face for this era of New Japan. You know, he As you said, he fought from underneath. You know, he had his amateur background too.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, which helped during a time period when Inoki was obsessed with trying to get, you know, shoot and MMA fighters into New Japan.
Yeah, oh, yes.
As we know, to their detriment after a while, but you know, at the same time, you know, Nagata rolled with the punches and did his best to represent, you know, the company and the title. And you know, he would actually hold this belt for, you know, over a year when he got,
Yep.
this was his first, you know, this was his first defense. You remember the first one of these episodes we did was against
Yeah.
Tadao Yasuda, and of course Takayama would challenge him at the end of
Yeah.
that.
Right.
So
I really like that basically like Nagata had to slowly chop Takayama down from the legs from the leg up.
yeah, they did a lot of that, which, you know, makes sense. I mean, that's, you know, kind of, you know, smaller, small but strong against, you know, big and strong. Yeah, that's how you had to do it. You know, you just keep chopping them down.
Yep.
Because it's, I mean, that's the match psychology for that. So, as I mentioned, Nagata would hold this belt for over a year, eventually losing this belt to the very man we're talking about, Yoshihiro Takayama, a year to the day, actually,
Yeah.
at NJPW Ultimate Crush. By this time,
Ultimate Crush.
at this time, Takayama was also the NWF heavyweight champion. We mentioned that belt earlier,
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right.
and Inoki had resurrected it, and yeah. So, but along the way, he would face, you know, he would also face the likes of Kensuke Sasaki, Boss Rutten, Kazuyuki Fujita, Kazunori Murakami, Josh Barnett, but also would have two time limit draw. 60-minute time limit draws during this run against Masahiro Chono on October the 26th of 2002, and against
Wow.
his stablemate Manabu Nakanishi on March the 9th, 2003.
Holy crap.
So yeah, I think it's the most time limit draws of a champion that I can think of in modern times.
That's a
I know
lot.
Okada had at least one time
Yeah.
limit draw. I know he had a couple in during G1 Climax, but those were not title matches. I'm just talking about title matches.
Right.
So once again, Lawrence, I have to ask you. You would think that this is the well, by the way, this match pulled a 4.25 star rating from the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Yeah.
Once again, I have to ask on this is from Tokon Memorial Day 30th anniversary show. You would think that this would be the main event of the show, right?
It wasn't.
It was not. You want to hazard a guess as to what it was?
Oh, I figured there might be some sort of shooters in
You would be
it.
wrong, actually. The
Really?
main event of this show, a 30-minute time limit draw between Masahiro Chono and Mitsuharu Misawa.
Oh shit. Oh yeah, that's right. Yes, that was on that show. Okay. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Wow,
Yeah,
I
that's
forgot
a.
about that match.
Yep, that was, you know, I say to keep in mind that New Japan and Noah.
They had a nice little relationship that year,
They did.
in
They did.
2002. Yeah, they had Akiyama and Nagata against Kobashi and him that year as well, and in Noah.
Yeah, I remember that match actually. Also featured on this show, a 3.5 star match from the Wrestling Observer newsletter, in which Ogun, which if you remember who Ogun was, that was Ogawa and Hashimoto beating
Yeah.
Hiroshi Tenzan and Scott Norton. And
Oof.
we also had a match in which the Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott Steiner, beat Kensuke Sasaki and the then young boy Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Oh my God.
Special referee, Joni Lahr.
Oh yeah, I know. China had her little run here for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping some of those matches show up on the front pages.
I hope so.
I want to review a China match, yeah. China in NJPW match. I really do.
Oh yeah.
And just for your knowledge, Lawrence, the opening match of this show, Kentaro Kanemura beating Daisuke Sekimoto.
Holy fuck! What?
I'm not making this shit up.
Wow!
And the match above that was Katsuyori Shibata beating Wataru Inoue.
Oh my goodness! Wow! Oh god! Early 2000s New Japan is just such a wonderful grab bag of random
horse shit at times.
It's like, that was the beauty of it, though. You just never knew what you were going to get, like, from show to show. You get some really wild stuff like that.
You know, I may have mentioned that. I think I am, you know, as we're watching a lot of these matches from that period, I may be starting to soften a little bit on my stance on that period, even though, because at the time I hated it. But at the same time, you know, the ones that we're seeing are the best of the best, because it's like, you know, we always talk about how great 90s All Japan was, right? But the only thing we ever really watch are the best matches. If you watch like an entire random card of 90s All Japan, you'll see there was a lot of horse shit on those shows too, you know?
It's a lot of Richard Slinger.
Oh my God. Holy shit. Dude.
There's one for
you. Oh my God. You son of a bitch. Oh, Lord. All right. Let's get to our final match of this series of four. This was a special request from Chris, and of course he doesn't show up for this one. You know, when we do the match that he requested. But here we are. August the 2nd, 2013, from Tokyo Korakuen Hall. This is day two of G1 Climax 23. The match, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Tomohiro Ishii. You know, Chris and I mentioned last episode that, you know, it was on the strength of the match he had with Masato Tanaka, that never open weight match. That got Ishii into this particular G1 climax that kind of broke him open to the New Japan fandom. I think that what helped too is that this was the first G1 climax where all days were streamed live, because all of G1 Climax 23 was on Nico Nico and Ustream.
Ustream. Oh, I remember those days.
Oh, yes. The days before NJPW World, where we had Ustream.
Oh, my God. Is Ustream still even a thing anymore?
I think Ustream went away.
Oh, my God. I remember Ustream. Holy shit.
Yeah, so here we are on August the 2nd, 2013, G1 Climax 23, Tanahashi versus Ishii. Did you note who was Tanahashi's second for this match?
I saw it, and I forgot.
Captain Fuka New Japan.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Good old Mitsuhide Hirasawa.
Oh boy. Oh yeah. This was a pretty much a doozy right here. They went back and forth, like, just fucking kicking the shit out of each other. Tana worked like a heel in this one.
He did. Yeah, that was one of the notes I had, is that Tana was definitely the heel in this match, because he was fighting a little dirty, wouldn't do clean rope breaks, the crowd was booing him.
Kurken was booing the shit out of him.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, I think Tana knew what his job was in this match, and he went for it.
He got Ishii over, I'll tell you that much, in this match. Ishii was freaking, he was the guy that everybody wanted wanted here.
Yeah, he was. And can we talk about the ending to this match real quick? Because that fucking pile driver, holy shit.
I never seen him do that before.
No, I don't think he's done it since.
I never saw that him do that. I'm like, whoa, what is he doing? I'm like, what the fuck? So it was like the sit out version of a brain buster almost. I just couldn't believe it.
That ending was like, holy shit. How did this not become like his death finisher or something? You know,
like, god damn, that looked horrifying to watch.
That was amazing. Yeah, that was. Yeah, it was horrifying and yet amazing at the same time, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was just so stunned. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that was something else. That was something else. Sure. But yeah, Ishii got his he got a shock win over the ace of the company.
Yeah,
you know, still back then the undisputed ace of the company. He wasn't the champion during that time. That was Kazuchika Okada, but yeah, he got a landmark win that probably helped set him to where he is now. I think a lot of that, you know, the fact that it was, you know, streamed live helped Ishii's case too. You know, how he's become a favorite among fandom, and they just sent him on the path. Unfortunately, Ishii would finish this G1 Climax dead last in Block A with only 6 points. His only other wins coming from a forfeit from Hirooki Goto because Goto had a jaw injury. And then Ishii would beat Katsuyori Shibata in another banger, I might add. So he unfortunately, two of his points only came from a forfeit, but, you know, what are you going to do? The winner of A Block would be one Hiroshi Tanahashi, and where he would fall in the final to the winner of B Block, Tetsuya Naito. And, of course, we all know how... I think we all know about the long-term ramifications of that G1 win.
Yeah, no shit.
Because, it kind of set up, you know, the direction of the company for the next 7 years that all culminated this year, finally, at Wrestle Kingdom. With Naito, winning the double gold dash. But, this was a banger of a match, though.
Yeah, it was really good.
So check that out. I would highly recommend checking that one out. So that's our four for this week. And I already have the next four picked out. Hopefully there won't be any scandals to to interfere with this one.
Yeah.
But are you ready for some goodness here?
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence, okay, so next episode, we will go to March the 1st, 1992, Yokohama Arena, Antonio Inoki and Osamu Kido versus Riki Choshu and Kengo Kimura.
Oh.
From an anniversary show. We also have an IWGP heavyweight title defense, Shinya Hashimoto versus Keiji Muto from June the 5th, 1997 at Tokyo Nippon Budokan. One of the rare Budokan shows from New Japan at that time. And then we skip ahead to 2003. Hiroshi Tenzan versus Shinsuke Nakamura, IWGP heavyweight title defense from Osaka Prefectural Gymnasium.
Oh, that era of Shinsuke.
Yes. And then finally, another IWGP heavyweight title match. Kensuke Sasaki versus Minoru Suzuki, 11/13/2004 from the Osaka Dome.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you know what? If I'm going to lodge one criticism, I wish that we would put up some, like, classic IWGP Junior Heavyweight title matches.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure they'll be coming.
There are a couple up there, but they're all Prince Devitt matches so far, which, you know, is fine, but I mean, come on, surely there are others. I'm just surprised at the lack of Jushin Liger matches we've gotten on these uploads so far.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah, no.
Although, I'll tell you what, I think they must have, NJPW World must have pushed some sort of update, because suddenly NJPW World on the Fire Stick is, like, not logging me out every other day. Yeah. Like, I haven't had a login in a couple of days, like, in a couple of weeks, so, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I still did.
Okay. Maybe they pushed an update or something, because...
Yeah,
it's only working better. I don't have to keep re-entering things. Now, what still sucks is that if you pause, it starts you all over.
Yeah.
You'll have that. And actually, it hasn't been hanging up either, so I don't know. Maybe they're listening to us. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's this week's edition. So, Lawrence, go ahead and plug yourself.
You can find me on Twitter at LOB_3.
You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in Style on Twitter, or at GD Wessel, 2SS1L, my personal Twitter. And, yeah, we're still planning to do a Boom Goes the Dynamite this week, because AEW still insists on doing shows, so...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we may be discussing that.
Their taping schedule that somehow has managed to get worse.
we may be having a few words about that on the next show. But stay tuned to that on Wednesday. So until then, Lawrence, any final words?
No. Well, my final words are, you know, I just wish... I really wish the wrestling business was filled with a lot better people. it makes me embarrassed really to be a fan sometimes, but, and it just makes me upset, especially when these guys work that I really enjoy. And I find stuff out like this, it really blows. I gotta say, it really sucks. This one really stunk.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit of a dagger, so. Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's this business, and sometimes we have to, you know, I think the key, of course, is that the fact that we had to address the fact that there's, you know, scumbags, you know,
yeah.
and not pretend, you know.
I just implore anybody, please just use like your better judgment. Just stop act. Please stop trying to act on impulse and just please just like be better. Be better, people. You know, just be better.
Yep, I can't say anything better than that. So until then, we'll see you either on Boom Goes the Dynamite this week or on the next episode of this Strong Style History Retrospectives. All right, Lawrence, thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you.